can share that. Good morning and greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is indeed great to be back and good to see Brother Joel and Brother Nagaraj and family back. And how about we turn this morning as we continue to meditate on the Word to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. We're looking at, for the past few months, how the Ark of Covenant and the Tabernacle moved from place to place. And as you're reading now, you're looking at a dedication service of the temple. They call it Solomon's Temple, but we'll look at briefly on the building of the temple as we read. So we shall read from verse 1 to verse 11. We'll read it vice versa. I'll read verse 1. And if you could read verse 2, and we'll go together till verse 11 of 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes of chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto the city of David, which is in Zion. And all the men of Israel said, when all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told for number for multitude. Praise God. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staffs thereof above. The two arms and the stars. The ends and the stars. Seen up in the place. The oracle, and they were not seen the third, but they were not. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, which the Lord had made a covenant with the children of Israel, and they came out of the land when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests would come out of the holy place that cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. May the Lord bless this word and make this a blessing to every soul which hear thy word. Amen. If you recollect the last time we were briefly looking at how David bought the ark from the house of Obed-Edom. If you remember, there were two worship centers when David started. One was in Gibeon during the time of Saul, and the Ark of Covenant was brought to the city of David, which we briefly looked at. We don't have time to recap much, but if you remember, David bought with great celebration. If you remember, every six steps he offered a sacrifice. And he established 24 hours, 7 days a week, worship. And we meditated on the tabernacle of David, if you remember, where the nation of Israel had access to come and worship, and the Ark of Covenant was placed in the tent. So the tent, as we read the word about tabernacle, tabernacle means God's dwelling in the midst. The key purpose in Book of Exodus, Exodus 25, you read, the key purpose of tabernacle is that I may dwell in the midst of the people. And that remains the heart of God even in millennium. Even after millennium, you read Revelation 21, we read the tabernacle of God is among men. That will be the ultimate desire. He wants to have relationship with you and me, be in the midst of us. So as we come now, We're looking the tabernacle, which we read about tent meeting. It started like the word used in the Bible is tent meetings. We use it as sanctuary at many times. But now, which had come for, as you just read 1 Kings chapter 8, you know how many years it's been since Egypt came out when the building began? We have this account in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. It says, 480 years since they left the land of Egypt. So the Bible is giving us an historical account of when the temple is built, when it started. Make a note, as we, God willing, continue on the subject, the temple and the future prophecy is aligned together. There's much prophecy written about the timeline, when the temple will be built in the future as well. The temple is always working together in future prophecy. That is how the Lord has. So the time when Solomon began to build the temple with the people of God was 480 years after they left the land of Egypt. But when we say this as Solomon's temple, right? But it is clearly, Solomon had no idea of building this temple. If you just turn to 1 Chronicles 17, 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Now David had rest. He had won wars. He's probably, you know, there's a worship center, as we know, in the city of David, where the Ark of Covenant has been placed. Now David is sitting in his palace, and he shares this verse in 1 Chronicles 17 verse 1. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." And Nathan said, "Do all that which is in your heart." You know, it's great how the Lord brings a thought in our hearts to do. Can you imagine what David is thinking? That the ark is moving place to place all these years. 480 years the tent has been there. About 500 years since they've come. And David is thinking, I'm living in the palace. I'm living in the house made of cedar. But where is God's presence dwelling? In a tent. I want to build a house, a permanent place for God's presence to live. That's how the temple building first came. It was in David's heart to build the house. But as we read chapter 17, as you even read verse 3, the same night God said to Nathan, "Nathan, go back to David's home and tell David, thou shalt not build," verse 4, "thou shalt not build me an house, saith the Lord." Verse 11, it shall come to pass when thy days are expired, thou must go to be with the fathers. I will raise up thy seed after thee, and you shall build," verse 12, "he shall build me an house, I shall establish it forever." Now, a prophecy is coming from Nathan. David shall not build the house. His seed, which is Solomon, shall build the house. Now, do you think David was discouraged, you know, when he wanted to do something right for God? We read later in Chronicles, God said, why David, God did not choose David. God said, "You have much blood on your hands, and your son shall build the house." Solomon means man of peace. You know, God gave him peace. We won't go into the character of Solomon, though we started well, but we just turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Now, when we think this was in David's heart to build, but yet God said, David not to build the temple, his son shall build. But he did not, he was determined to prepare this place for the temple. Though God told him not to build, God did not tell him not to prepare. God also told him the temple will be built after his death. That's what we read in verse 11. After you die, you be with the fathers, your seed shall build. Now, as you come to 1 Chronicles 21, you all know, I'm sure here there are many scholars, we've read it, David does a big mistake during his leading. And that one of them was numbering the nation of Israel. You know how we do surveys? I think when we went to Camp Kedron, most of you were there, we meditated on a portion. The Lord said, when you number, you shall give a ransom for every soul. And when we number soul and when you don't do correctly, there will be a plague coming. So because of David's mistake, 70,000 people died. And David chose the options given. One of the options was 3 days. We won't go into the option, but the thought is, even in that challenge where David failed, as you come to 21 of verse 18, there was one more prophet called Gad in the time of David. Gad said to David, David, go up and build an altar unto the Lord at the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. So people are dying. Gad approaches David. Go to the threshing floor of Onan. Build the altar. David hears the voice of the prophet. He goes and builds the altar. Verse 26. David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offering. What do you see there? The Lord answered, and fire from heaven came at the altar of the burnt offering, and the Lord commanded the angel, he put the sword again into the sheath thereof. David experienced the presence of God in a threshing floor of Onan. You know what is the place we are discussing right now? This is the most expensive real estate place right now on planet Earth. And David in his heart knew this is the place where the temple will be built. Verse 22 of chapter 1, verse 1, it says, David said, this is the house of the Lord God. And this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather the strangers, and he called to build the house. And now, when we see about this name Onan, or Aruna in some of your portion, it's believed he is probably a Canaanite. It was not a Jewish name. And here you see this man. When we see about threshing floor, when you're passing through a farmland, you know, they thresh the chaff off with the wind. You know, the chaff is in Psalm chapter 1, verse 4 says, the wicked is like the chaff. The wind blows, the chaff goes. And at the threshing floor, it's a flat land on a mountain. I haven't been to Jerusalem, but they say on a flat land of this mountain, we read 1,000 years before Abraham was about to offer his son Isaac on which mountain? Mount Moriah. And it is the same mountain where this land is, you know, just a farmland, a threshing floor, and God leads David there. So who chose the place? God chose the place. God led David to choose this place. Do you know you're all chosen here before the foundation of the world? Who chose you? You did not choose God. God chose you. You know how much David played for this land? Verse 25 of 1 Chronicles 21, 25. David played 600 shekels of gold. 600 shekels of gold. I was just looking at how much is one shekel of gold. It's about 11.4 grams. If you overall about 7 kilos of gold. David's Onan was about to offer the land everything for free. David said, verse 24, nay, I will buy it for full price. I will not take that which is thine for the Lord. So David invested this land. David had in his heart to build a house, a temple for the Lord. Now David did not finish there. He said, my job is done. The place is bought. You know what David did in the old age? This is what the character reveals in chapter 22 as you read through. David firstly prepares his son, Solomon. He had many sons, but God had revealed Solomon shall be the seed. It is also one of the unique names in the Bible. There are not many people who were born before have been given name, but Solomon was told his name shall be Solomon. You know, he was a chosen man. But here when you read in verse 5, David said, chapter 22, 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5, and David said, Solomon, my son, young and tender, that the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent of fame, of glory throughout all the countries. I'll therefore unto make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Before his death. He prepares his son. He called Solomon his son and charged him. Verse 4, 6. He charged him to build a house for the Lord Israel. He charged. He instructed Solomon that thou shalt build a house for the Lord. Verse 13 or 22. David is saying to verse 11, my son, the Lord be with thee. And he reminds the promise of Moses. Be strong. Verse 13, be strong and of good courage. Dread not be dismayed. Take heed to the commandments of the Lord. And it's interesting when you see, you know, as we are meditating this morning, when you do good works, can you be saved? You know, brother was saying, you know, even in Old Testament, as you read the verse, you know, now my son, take heed, keep the commandments. And it says, it does not say, thou shalt be saved. It says, thou shalt prosper. Thou shalt prosper. Even in, it was always the faith which brought righteousness. Even in the Old Testament, it was by faith Abraham was credited righteousness. And here we see God, David speaking to Solomon, take heed, do well, keep the commandments, and you shall prosper and build the house. So one of the key things of David's life. Background, as you all know, David had many battles, Absalom, problems, Saul problems is already finished here when we are reading all this. But yet David's heart was focused, he was determined, and he was preparing his son. As a parent, brothers and sisters, it's great to see that all we have, you know, even when we're celebrating Mother's Day, you know, we acknowledge the goodness of the flock where they labor to train a child, right? We thank you for the Sunday school teachers to train up a child from the young age. It is so important. If you remember, whatever you learn from 1 to 7 years of age, which is going to be a foundation for a child, right? In Proverbs, Solomon said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not forget it. You know, I thank God for my parents, my mentors who taught godly things, you know. So train up. David was giving this priority in his life in the old age, preparing his son, charging to build the house for the Lord. You know, even Deuteronomy 6:6 says, to speak to thy children. When you sit down, let me read it for you from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. It says like this, these words I command you shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, the next generation. And shall talk with them, thou sittest in thy house, when thou be in thy way, when thou liest down, when thou risest. Speak to them. This is the priority for a parent, to spend time, you know, to bring the things of God, to train up. And this is what we see in David's life. And now, as we come back to 1 Chronicles 22, briefly, we also see verse 14. David prepared all the things, most of the things needed for the temple. You read cedar trees. If you read verse 14, 1,000 talents of gold, thousands of silver, innumerable. This is in millions of dollars worth All that he had acquired in wars, gold after gold, he gave it to the Lord. One of the things about David is giving. You know, worship means giving, investing. You know, just giving everything he had. He had acknowledged that I was a shepherd boy. God had made me a king. He never forgot that. And he gives and gives. And here we see he's preparing the temple, the gold, the cedar, the people. And third thing he prepared was, verse 18, the people of Israel. It's just not Solomon, and the things cannot build the temple. As you see, it's just a glimpse. It's more glorious than what it was. If people were not involved, there's no temple, right? Verse 18, we see, now the Lord, David said to the people, is not the Lord God, your God, with you? Hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, subdued before the Lord. Verse 19, what a beautiful verse. Now set your heart and your soul and seek the Lord God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord. Arise, take heart, set your heart right, focus in the things of God. Arise and build the sanctuary. This call went, we do not know how many years. So as we note, the Ark of the Covenant was in the city of David in a tent. The Mosaic Tabernacle was in Gibeon, which is also there at this time. And David's heart is to bring all together in the design the Lord had given of the holy place, the most holy place. As you just look at it, we have meditated many times. I won't go in detail about the tabernacle, but the heart, the desire today is about the building of the temple, how the Lord brought it together. Now, as we come to, as we take a few things about David, it is, though it's Solomon's temple, it is David who had this in his heart, a deep desire to build the temple, the house of God. He invested in his old age. He prepared his son. He prepared things. He also prepared the nation of Israel for the next generation to prepare and build. Now, as we come to 1 Kings, as we were going back a little bit, 1 Kings chapter 6, you see, it's been 480 years since the nation of Israel left. And the Bible gives a historical event about when the temple was began. You read, it was in the fourth year of King Solomon's reign, and it was in the second month that Solomon began to build the house of the Lord. A magnificent temple, you know, filled with cedar, the stones, the gold. And you know how long it took to build the temple? 7 years. In verse 38 of 1 Kings 6, verse 38, in the 11th year, in the month of Bu, which is a month? 8th month, the house was finished. It took precisely 7 years, 6 months. Second month it started, approximately 7 years. And as you turn to 1 Kings chapter 5, you see a king called Hiram. He was a king of one of the port city in Tyre of Lebanon. It is a port city. Hiram had a good relationship with King David times. Now we see a beautiful relationship even with King Solomon. And in those days, the Lebanon was filled with trees of cedar. And Hiram, the king, made a trade with Solomon. Verse 9 of chapter 5, it says, Hiram said, I will send you cedar trees by the sea floats, as you read 1 Kings 5:9. So in the Mediterranean Sea, as we all know, Hiram sent logs of sea wood floating. and they would take it and collect it. There is no trucks those days. It's hardly few ships and people, you know, the logs coming. And there was a trade between Hiram and Solomon. Verse 11 says, Solomon had to give 20,000 measures of wheat, 20,000 measures of pure oil every year. These days, Australia is looking for trade partners, right? We do trades with many countries, and many countries have trade between each other. But those days, as you see a historical event, Israel had a good trade with Lebanon. And here we see Hiram, you know, being sending the cedar wood. Now here I was quite amazed to see the wisdom of Solomon. Verse 13 of 1 Kings chapter 5, from verse 13 to verse 18, it gives a picture of how many people were involved in 7-year project. How did he build it? He chose, in verse 13, it says, hard labor, tax, levy out. 30,000 people were chosen hard labor. 30,000 is believed possibly Canaanites. And as you read through, they shall go 1 month to Lebanon, cut the trees, and you would see, verse 14, 2 months of holidays. Anybody would like that? 1 month of work, 2 months of holidays. 30,000 people. They would go and cut the trees. This is how Solomon did work. Yes, we do have 2 days weekend, some of us, which we enjoy and thank God for that. But this is how he planned for a few years. Now as we go, verse 15 and 16, you read, there were 70,000 transporters to transport this to the temple. 80,000 stone cutters, 80,000 who would work on the stones. Remember, these stones are very heavy, big stones. If you just read it, verse 17, the foundation stone, it says, they bought a great stone, a costly stone, a huge stone to lay the foundation of the house. A beautiful stone, a cornerstone for the foundation of the house. You see, there are 3,300 supervisors. 3,300 supervisors. See, the Lord has given us 3 or 4 chapters plus chronicles of all the designs, the time, the chronology, the number of people involved. If I add up all this, it's about 183,300 just involved in transporting, cutting stones plus many laborers, right? Big project, 7 years. Solomon is giving wheat and oil and getting the trade done. Now as you read in verse 6, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. You read that, and in the house when it was built of stone made ready beforehand and was bought either, so that there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. Do you understand what it means? When the house is built, there is no sound of hammer. The stone has to be made ready and bought in. Does anyone have here a house being built next door? If it's going to be built, there'll be a lot of noise. There's a lot of sound for months and it's annoying. But here we see this place is a sacred place. They built with respect. They built with honor. So what that means is there was a place called quarry, you know, where they keep the stones. So say this is the place, the temple, about 200 meters away, probably where we played the cricket practice, where we can't hear the stone. So they had to make it ready, cut it, chisel it, perfect, and send it across. Can you imagine the work, how it worked? You know, a person would be asking in the temple, where is that stone which has to just sit perfect on this corner? And the other person may say, hey brother, it could be, it was already sent. It was sent yesterday. It should be on the corner there, you know. When we think about the temple, the stones, these are all have spiritual meanings for us. Do you know Jesus Christ is called a chief cornerstone, a rejected stone? Isaiah takes, after a few hundred years, if you turn to Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28 verse 6, it says like this, Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be made haste, shall not be condemned. It was a precious stone. Nobody recognized 2,000 years ago. Volumes of book told about this living stone. He was rejected by man, but chosen by God. Many people, even today, when we go on street, many people stumble on it who reject on it. But we who have believed, praise be to God, He is a precious stone. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. If you have it, you could read it with me aloud. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 and 20.
So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being cornerstone.
Thank you, brother. Do you feel you're a stranger to God? God calls you this morning a child of living God. Do you know the song we just said, in Christ alone, my hope is found? One of my favorite verses in John's Gospel says, I know my sheep, they hear my voice, nobody can snatch out of my hand. It was today in that song. You know, he remembers you, he knows you. And we are all being brought together, laid upon this foundation stone. Where is the temple today? This is the temple. For the Lord today, it is not Solomon, the mosque today, not the walls. Yes, it has a meaning. It stayed for about 430 years, came back again, came back destroyed. But the only one temple, which you remember, the permanent temple, is the body of Christ. On that foundation, on that rejected stone, we have been made alive through the Spirit of God. So as we come back to 1 Kings, as we look at this, brother, can you go to the third slide? Yeah, thanks. So as you come back to 1 Kings, you know, you see in chapter 6 and 7, chapter 6 also gives the size of the temple. You know, it gives about the breadth of the temple. So let me just turn to 1 Kings chapter 6. And you see about, so there's holy place and most holy place, right? And you see the holy place, as you read in chapter 6 of verse 2, you see, read it in King James Version as cubits. Cubits is converted into, every cubit is about 1.5 feet, right? 1.5 feet. So the size of the holy place was 60 feet. If I just put it in simple words. The size of the most holy place was 30 feet. 30 feet in length. So adding 60 to 90, you had 60 plus 30, you had 90 feet apart from the porch. And the height of the walls is also given in feet. It is 45 feet. 45 feet. It's quite a big vast building, you know, about 90 feet, just the holy and most holy place, and 45 feet height, and everything is put together with stones, cedar trees, overlaid with pure gold, millions of gold. And you see in chapter 7, there's also one more person called Hiram, the same name. There are two Hirams. One is the king Hiram. And as you come to chapter 7, verse 13, you see a Hiram who was a gifted and chosen man. He was a widow's son And it's recorded he's from the tribe of Naphtali. This Hiram was gifted to build things of brass, made of brass. You see, there were two pillars. You can only see one. There was one more pillar there. They were named. It was made of brass. It was made of brass. And as you turn 1 Kings 7, and as you read in verse 21, their names were called Jachin and Boaz. Jachin was on the right, Boaz was on the left. Their meaning of Jachin means he shall establish. The meaning of Boaz means God is in his strength. He shall establish in his strength. You see that the sea outside, the sea waver. And you read, you know how big what that was? It looks like a small in this picture. It holded 12,000 gallons of water made of brass, the sea. It was used for washing of the ceremonial of the priest. Imagine how big it is. In the holidays, me and family were building a 1,000-liter pond with the wood. You know, it took us, with being a mature, weeks to get this all done. 1,000 gallon is about 3.7 liters, 45,000 liters of water in the sea, where they could take all the water to prepare to the ceremonial and the washing. And without each other, this temple was not coming together, right? God had chosen and God had gifted. David said in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds, everything is in vain. Right? Unless the Lord builds. There are many plans we have, but unless the Lord builds, it is in vain. But when the Lord builds, you're seeing how the provision is made. Hiram comes. Here, one more widow's son, Hiram comes with the skills he has. You know, even in this little flock, as I ponder, you know, we were a little flock, and how the Lord brought each other, you know, just to bring with what we have to the Lord. Right? How beautiful is the body. Lord brings and adds, and he makes it working, because we have one spirit, one faith as we worship the Lord. So as we come back to 1 Kings chapter 8, and we have hardly started 1 Kings chapter 8, you know, we are looking at building of the temple. And it also notes the time this dedication took place. So now the temple is built, magnificent temple. It was built, as we read, in 11 years' time. But we see, when we read verse 2, the ceremonial of dedication was on a feast, which happens on the 7th month, which means for 11 months, it was finished last year, 8th month, and the feast was on we read about a feast in verse 2, it was in the 7th month, right? So for 11 months, though the house was finished, it was not yet dedicated. 11 months later, Solomon gathers all the people to dedicate. Now there's a reason, because this feast is called Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles. In Deuteronomy 16 and 16, the Lord said, three times in a year, they shall appear before me. And there were three feasts noted. There are about seven feasts or more, but three important feasts noted in Deuteronomy 16:16 is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which reminds of the Passover of the Lord. The Feast of the Weeks, which reminds of the day of the Pentecost, of the Holy Spirit coming. And the Feast of the Tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacle is also a picture of the Lord's coming for us, who will deliver us. You know what they used to do at the Feast of Tabernacle? It's also called Feast of Booths. It's also called Feast of Sukkot. They would get their tents, booths, across the whole. They were like pilgrimage. They would come to the town and they would be there for 7 days was the feast. You read in Leviticus, it was 7 days feast. It happened just about 5 days on the Day of Atonement. And the purpose of their coming in this particular feast is God's provision during the time of Exodus and God's deliverance. So they remembered, they rejoiced, and they worshiped. So at this particular feast, Solomon is dedicating the temple. You know, as we read they bought the ark. You know, as we read verse 4, they brought the ark of the Lord to the temple, right? It is so easy to read about they brought the ark. Remember when they bring the ark? We meditated a few months ago. If they brought it on a cart, two people died. They had to bring it in a way. The Kohathites, the Levites are the only ones who can carry the ark on the shoulders. And they would bring. So there's great, even Chronicles gives us a picture of all the musical instrument involved on the day, with the harps, the timbrels. There's a great worship time happening. Now we also have a biblical account of what is in the ark. What was supposed to be in the ark? Two tablets of stones. What else? Manna? Aaron's rod. But what do you read in verse 9? There was only two tables of stones. So by this time, 500 years passed, 480 years passed. Manna is not there. Aaron's rod is lost. It could have happened, remember, during 7 months, Philistines stole the ark. It could have happened there. But the ark only has two tablet stones of Moses. And we also read, you see those cherubims in the most holy place? It's just a picture there. They are about 15 feet. So Solomon built of a wood made of cherubims. So as you know, the ark had its own cherubims facing each other. This on the top, the wings itself was about 7.5 feet. And he built the cherubims just under the ark where it was placed. So the ark, the only important piece of furniture in the most holy place is the Ark of Covenant, which is the presence of God. What happened as they bought the ark? Verse 9, as they bought the ark, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 10, glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not minister. The cloud filled the temple of God. And people could not, they all, when they came out, I would guess, the whole congregation just knelt down and worshipped. And they just acknowledged the presence of God. You know, as we read through many portions, what can you do at the presence of God? You just bow down, you know, and worship. And as you read through all chapter of 1 Kings chapter 8, from all the way, Solomon has a beautiful prayer of dedication. Heart full of prayer. Please read it through. These are the good times of Solomon. He had a good heart. God had trained him. He had a good heart in the beginning. But sadly, as you go through Solomon's life, he made a wrong choice. You know, many choices. We do not know. We believe at the end he was back. Many scholars believe as he wrote Proverbs and other books. But here we are looking at the beautiful heart. Verse 27 of chapter 22. He worships heaven. If heaven cannot contain thee, how much the house thou built. When people pray, Lord, hearken unto the voice. Even verse 42, when a stranger comes to the land and pray, hearken unto the voice. Even today, after thousands of years later, people go to that wall and pray. And God can hear in faith when they pray. Verse 65 and verse 66 of chapter 8. Solomon held a feast. All the Israel with a great congregation from entering of Hamath before the Lord God, 7 days in this event, it was plus 7 days, 14 days. On the 8th day, he sent the people and blessed the king. They attained joyful and glad heart of all goodness the Lord had done for David his servant and Israel his people. Yes, brothers and sisters, when we come to the presence of God, God fills fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. That's why David said, one thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. There is no other desire can satisfy my heart eternally, long lasting, only one, and is the presence of Lord Jesus in my heart and presence of God's people. What a privilege to be in the spiritual temple. Now as we take this key thought, what happened thousands of years ago, the building of a temple, Now, where is the Lord's temple today? Jesus said 2,000 years ago in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. David had a desire to build the temple. He took a lot of effort. God's, through his own son, said, I will build the church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail it. This temple was destroyed 586 BC. And we read about Daniel's time, right? God does not live anymore in the buildings. God lives in your hearts. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, know ye not, you are the temple of living God. David purchased for 600 shekels. How are you purchased? How much was your cost? Remember in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we read verse 5. Ye also living stone built upon spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You are a living stone. Bible says, you also are a stone. You know how the stone had to be made ready outside? Has the church been built yet? Not yet. It's not finished. If it was built 28 years ago, I was not in that body of Christ. If it was built 10 years ago, maybe somebody here who got saved was not here. The Lord is still building the church. As we read in scripture, when the house was built, there was no hammering. There's no noise of iron, right? We're all getting chiseled. We've been purchased, just placed perfect. You are just sitting here, just perfect. You're a perfect living stone. The purpose of a godly church is to build upon Lord Jesus Christ who is the foundation stone. He is the foundation. Only we can only grow in Christ. He is the foundation. And it is through His Spirit who has made us alive and quickened us. We are all alive, a living stone. We are also living to offer sacrifices. We are here to encourage one another. I want to see a brother and sister join me to that heavenly glory place. That should be our each other goal. The purpose of here is to encourage one another. This is a holy house of God, right? The spiritual house of God. As we look upon this portion, this was the prayer of Lord Jesus. One of the greatest prayer he prayed in John's Gospel chapter 17. John's Gospel chapter 17, verse 21 to 23. That they all may be one, as the Father are in me, I in thee, they may be also be in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be all one as we are one. This is the prayer of the God who has called us to this house to be one. And the world may see, that is the greatest gospel. That is the greatest gospel. And that they may give glory to God. Now as we look at, we've been purchased not by gold, not by 600 shekel of gold. You have been purchased by precious blood of Jesus Christ. Unblemished, perfect. Only that blood can purchase you and me. Washed and made holy. If you want to be used in the house, that's what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, be set apart, be sanctified. To Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and we shall read and close there, verse 21 and 22. If a man therefore purge himself for these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and made for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of pure heart. May this be our desire. Lord, use me in your house. May I be a useful vessel in your house. As Paul gives instruction to Timothy, if anyone purges himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and also be with them that call this out of pure heart. Thank God for brothers and sisters who call upon this in fellowship with them, and as we also grow into this house. So let's read this last verse which David called out in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And as I finish 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and he called, he said, take heart, you know. Sorry, I didn't know. Wrong question there. So David said to the people, where verse 19 of 1 Chronicles 22, now set your heart and your soul and seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the holy vessels of God, into the house. Brothers and sisters, let's take this call when David called. Set your heart on things of God. Arise and build a sanctuary. Build each other. We can only invest inviting people to the temple by the gospel. You know, when Peter said, you are the Son of living God, what did Jesus say? On this rock, on this faith, I will build my church. So may the Lord encourage us as we look at briefly about David's life, his worship, his giving, his investing. May our lives bring honor and glory in adding, be a blessing to the house of God. Let's pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for giving us this blessed morning, speaking to me and to us from the word of God, that Lord, you have purchased us through your precious blood. You have called us, Lord, with a holy calling, and you have chosen us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Help us, Lord, to be worthy, Lord, to be set apart, to have a sanctified life, to be useful for your house of God. And thank you for making us a living stone built upon the foundation on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, ask this blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen.